We are live from Prairie Crossing's Byron Colby Barn in Grays Lake, Illinois. I'm Andrew Patner. You are listening to 98.7 FM WFMT. This is one in a series of monthly or thereabouts broadcasts of live early music from the Byron Colby Barn at Prairie Crossing. We'll be talking more about Prairie Crossing and about early music, and I'll tell you right now, the Byron Colby Barn itself is looking beautiful. It is filled with people. It is a very sunny day, even warm for February, outside here at Prairie Crossing in Grays Lake. Our guests today, performing live here, is the ensemble Ars Antigua. Ars Antigua is a period instrument chamber ensemble dedicated to bringing to life music from the Age of Enlightenment. And we're going to be enlightened for the most part today by music from the French Enlightenment, and we'll be enlightened about that music by the members of Ars Antigua, as well as by its artistic director, Jerry Fuller. I'll be introducing the musicians as we go along, and I think you'll be hearing from just about each and all of them. I do want to mention that, unfortunately, bassoonist Joe Urbanato, whose work you may know from the Lyric Opera and many other organizations, Music of the Baroque and others in Chicago, is unfortunately indisposed today, so we've had to rejuggle the program a bit. We won't be hearing from Joe. We won't be hearing from the bassoon. So I just wanted to give you that heads up before we begin. We're going to begin with one of the most popular composers of any period, but especially from the medieval and early periods. Yes, I'm speaking of Anonymous. And we're going to hear a group of pieces that together make up, I guess, a Dame Française, a Musette, and a Cotillon. And you're going to be hearing, and those of you who are here live are going to be seeing, an actual hurdy-gurdy. And we'll be talking about the hurdy-gurdy after we hear the music, I think. And Bob Green is our hurdy-gurdist, and we'll find out later if that's indeed what a hurdy-gurdy man is called. And Lee Chapman is our guitarist, guitar man, guitar person. So, Music of Anonymous, performed by Ars Antigua. Thank you. Three dances by Anonymous, and they were played for us by two non-anonymous musicians, Lee Chapman, identified here as guitar, and Bob Green, hurdy-gurdy. And before we get to the hurdy-gurdy, Lee Chapman, I want to talk about your guitar, because for those of you who don't have a video portion here, it doesn't really look exactly like a guitar. It sort of sounded like a baby lute, and it sort of looks like a big cousin of a ukulele, but what is your instrument there?
Well, this is a Baroque guitar. It's a copy of a 17th century French Baroque guitar, and it's pretty much like a modern guitar. The big difference I note is the frets, instead of being metal, are gut strings tied around the neck. That makes it really difficult for me to slide my hand up and down quickly, because there are all these knots here, and I have the cuts to prove that. But also, it's not as bassy as a modern guitar. It doesn't have the bottom string of a modern guitar. And the lowest string it does have is up an octave. So you get... Also, the strings are gut. That's why I'm out of tune already. So I'll tune up again before I play again.
One thing, whether you were listening at home or even if you're here, you noticed that they did have to stop, the gentleman, and retune. How, in a group such as this, do you tune your instruments when all of these are instruments that require tuning? Do you have a tuning fork? Or, I mean, none of these instruments have a steady pitch on them.
Well, we tune to the harpsichord. We start out with the harpsichord. And hopefully the harpsichord stays in tune.
All right. That's Bob Green, who's been our hurdy-gurdy player. Bob, what's a hurdy-gurdy? Where is your hurdy-gurdy from, and where do you go to hurdy-gurdy school?
The hurdy-gurdy is a bowed string instrument. The bow is a wooden wheel which rubs against the strings. The wheel is covered with rosin, and the strings are wrapped with cotton to keep them from being too raspy. The cotton has to be pure cotton, and I got so desperate I had to grow cotton in my backyard in northern Illinois in order to get some raw cotton.
Now, there's a story right there.
Then down the middle of the instrument is a keyboard. It has two chromatic octaves, about the same as an alto recorder. and the tangents stop the strings just the way the fingers of a violin would stop the strings. And then down the sides are drone strings, which make it sound a little bit like a bagpipe. That's what tends to go out of tune, the drone strings. You'll also hear a little percussive buzz sound, and that's created by a little movable bridge which vibrates against the top of the instrument. And these I have to carve myself so that they behave just the way I want them to. The instrument is a copy of an 18th century instrument by a famous maker that I have at home. The old instrument is a little bit too unreliable to play in public, you might say. And this instrument was made by a maker named Thomas Norwood, who lives in Paris.
Are they French instruments, or are they instruments of French origin, or is the type that you play one that comes from the French tradition?
This is definitely a French instrument. What happened was, around 1715 or 1720, a maker named Henri Baton began to tear apart old lutes and guitars, which were going out of fashion. He smashed the tops down and the bottoms to reinforce them and built on top of them this instrument here, and he put a head on it and started decorating them, as one said, so it would be pleasing to the ladies. And in the 18th century, it became a very popular ladies' instrument. And the Queen of France, Marie Leshinska, who was the wife of Louis XV, played the hurdy-gurdy, but we know she didn't play very well. Louis XV also had five very musically talented daughters, some of whom played this instrument.
Well, it's nice that you and Lee can get along, considering that your instrument is made by bashing up Lee's instrument. I remember I was in Brittany in the early 1970s, and we met a man who was then in his 90s, and therefore he must have been born in the 1880s or 1870s even, and he was 1870s even, and he was a hurdy-gurdy player and said he had been since he was 5 or 6 years old. So, I mean, you got a sense of the tradition that this instrument has, perhaps still has, in places like the Breton region of France. And but did you learn from one of these masters, or are you a self-made hurdy-gurdist?
I started out primarily interested in the 18th century literature, and when I discovered how difficult the instrument was to learn to play, I talked to a friend of mine in France who said, you've got to come and learn folk music first. And so I involved myself in French folk music, and I teach a workshop in France every summer now, but the folk tradition of playing the hurdy-gurdy is still very much alive in France. There are hundreds of hurdy-gurdy players. I once heard a concert of 300 hurdy-gurdy players playing in unison.
Fortunately, they were playing in unison. We want to thank Lee Chapman and Bob Green. We're going to be hearing more from each and both of them as we go along. We're going to come now, though, to a piece by someone I think has sort of become the unofficial composer in residence of the early music series here at the Byron Colby Barn at Prairie Crossing. I'm talking, of course, of Jacques-Martin Hautetert, whose music is played more often here than it probably is played anywhere else in the world. that is, the last time I was here, there was some music by him. And Anita Reeder is going to be our soloist. I don't know if you want to, maybe you want to play first and then talk? Is that all right? We're going to hear a piece of Echos, Pour la flûte transversière, so for the solo transverse flute. And Anita Reeder of Ars Antigua is going to provide these echoes for us.